Good morning.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. It's good to see all of you here this morning. And we have several announcements in the bulletin this morning. We won't go over all of them. But Earl this morning is going to make an announcement about the spaghetti supper that's coming up.
Good morning. Spaghetti supper is going to be in 2 weeks. It's on April 6th, and there's still pretty many tickets out there, so we need to sell these tickets. If you have someone that wants to come the night of the supper, please bring them. We can sell a ticket or two at the door. That'll be fine. But next week, we'd like to have a final count. By the end of this week, we need a final count to let just know, you know, how many to prepare for. So get out there and sell more tickets. Thanks.
Okay, hope we can get a lot of those tickets sold. I don't know about you, but I sure like spaghetti. Anyway, do we have any other announcements this morning? Let us enter into our time of worship as we sing our opening songs of praise. The praise team, we're pleased to have the praise team leading us this morning in our songs of praise. And Ricky is here this morning along with Megan accompanying us. So let's all stand as we sing Awesome God and Cornerstone.
He rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked them out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return was very close, and so you better be believing that
our God is an awesome God.
The sky was starless in the void of the night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
The judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. The mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten
that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
before you sit down, take a moment and greet one another. Just tell them it's nice to have you here this morning in worship. Join me in the call to worship this morning. It's a responsive reading this morning, which should be followed by a unison invocational prayer. This morning, I'm going to be talking about our thirst and our desire for God. Jesus proclaimed, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. Lord, we are thirsty for the living water of the Holy Spirit for our parched lives. We come to worship in order that our dry and thirsty souls may be replenished by your indwelling Spirit. The Lord is faithful. He will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Let us worship with expectancy. Join me in the invocational prayer, and let's read our invocational prayer in unison. Let us pray to the Lord. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. Amen. The children can come forward this morning for the children's story.
All right, come on up. Let's get around our table here. Come on over. All right, we got a place for everybody. Oh, there's some more coming still. There are fruits. What kind of fruits do you see?
Banana.
Orange. Apple. What other kind of fruits could we put in there? What do you think? There's one banana. A peach. Yes, there's a good one to put in there. What else? Strawberries, apple, grapes. Yes, apples, there's all kinds of fruit. Okay, so what is your favorite fruit?
My favorite fruit is orange.
Orange is yours.
I'm mango.
Mango. Oh, that's not one you have very often. Pear. You like mango too? Pears, they're good. You know, my favorite is kiwi. Have you ever had a kiwi?
I like kiwi.
Kiwi is disgusting. Oh, no.
I like.
It is an acquired taste, I will say that.
I like grapes, strawberries, and kiwi.
There you go, grapes, strawberries, and kiwi. Yes, a kiwi friend over here. Okay, so.
And I like raspberries.
Raspberries, that's another one. Raspberries, blackberries, those are all awesome ones. Have you ever had a star fruit?
No.
You ever seen that? It's the shape. Okay, oh, I might have to bring that in and show it to you. Have you had one? Those, to me, they're okay, but they don't really have a taste. We might have to taste that one Sunday, what do you think? So, we are going to learn our Bible lesson today, and it is from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. Brooke is going to read that. Do you think it has anything to do with fruit?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. We'll find out, right?
Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree, planted it in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, but I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down.
So in our Bible lesson today, Jesus told a story. A parable is a story, right? He told a story about a man who planted a fig tree in a garden. Has anybody ever seen a fig? Do you know what a fig is? Have you seen a fig? Do you eat figs?
I didn't eat one.
You didn't eat one?
I eat one in a bar.
It is kind of like a fruit, too. And after some time had passed, he went and looked for some fruit on the tree, but did he find any?
No.
No.
Is it a wake?
It's a tree. And it was supposed to have fruit on it, but it didn't. So he said to the gardener, for 3 years, 3 years can be a long time, right? And he said, 3 years I've come and there is no fruit on this tree, so I need you to cut it down because it's not bearing any fruit. It's worthless, right? All right, so think about if you had fruit trees at home and you went out to get it in the summertime, would you expect to have fruit on there? Yes, you would expect it to have fruit, but it did not. So the gardener said, why don't we just wait a little bit? Give it one more chance. Leave it for another year. The gardener said, I will give it special attention. Now, if something in your garden isn't growing, what do you do for it?
Pull it out and throw it in a stick.
Well, one is throw it out. That's what the guy wanted to do. But the gardener said, no, I'm going to put more fertilizer on it, right? You do that, put more water. You might get your Miracle-Gro out, put some more on it, and make it grow. And we'll wait one more year and see. And do you know that those fruit trees are what we are? And God is the gardener. Now, if our tree doesn't grow, what do you think God does? Should we be bearing fruit too?
But if it doesn't bear, like if you water it two times.
If you water it too much, you are correct. That could be a problem too. But we have fruits too. It's called the fruit of a spirit. All right, so put your fingers up. We're going to count them. You got to have love, peace, patience, kindness, joy, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, how many was that? We did five and then four. Nine fruits are what we need.
Nine
fruits. Now, how can we get those fruits? Do you know how we can cultivate it and put more fertilizer on it? How would we do that? How would we get the water? Do you know what our source is? The Bible. So we read our Bible. That's one way that we can get our fruit. Another way is coming to church. Another thing is sharing about Jesus to your friends. Do you share Jesus to your friends? Yes, because you know, not everybody knows about Jesus. And that's another way that we can get fruit on our trees. It's by sharing Jesus with others. Reading your Bible, coming to church, and what's the last one? Anybody know? It starts with a P. Pray. Yeah, pray. We need to pray. Sorry, so let's pray right now. You ready? Here we go. Heavenly Father, we know that you expect good things from your children. Help us live a life that will be pleasing to you. Help us to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We love you, Lord. Help us spread that to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. Now remember, go and bear fruit.
Thank you, Rachel, for the children's story. The children can go to children's church at this time. As As we prepare for our offering, let us read together our offertory statement that's printed. It's taken from 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Let us read together in unison. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this time of worship this morning, for the awesome privilege of being in your house of worship, to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, as we give our offerings to you, Lord God, we give them in faith, believing, Lord, that you'll bless these offerings in return. Be with us as a church as we use these offerings, Lord, to further your kingdom for the needs of ministry here in the church. We pray that we would always have a heart, Lord, to give to you. Bless the talents and the gifts that we have here. We pray that you would use us, Lord, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The ushers can come forward this morning, and our offertory song of praise is At the Cross.
Thank you.
Thank you, praise team, for the music this morning. We come to our time of prayer, and this morning, before I go to prayer, I'd just like to share a few prayer concerns. I want to start, first of all, with our local, what I call local prayer concerns here in the congregation, and then I'm going to talk about prayer concerns globally. You'll see in the bulletin here a couple people we need to remember in prayer. Karen Sanchez's uncle passed away, Galen High, so keep her in prayer. Also, we have a couple thanks for prayers. Harvey Berger, remember Harvey Berger as dealing with the loss of his wife, and we can see other a thank you note from the heart rest for the cards and phone calls. So we need to keep them in prayer. Also, we need to remember Ken Wagner in prayer. Ken had surgery this week, and he's at home recovering, so keep Ken in prayer. Also, we always want to lift up a church of the week from the district. This week, we're praying for the Lewiston Church of the Brethren in Lewiston, Maine. Lift up Lewiston Church and Heidelberg Church of the Brethren is praying for us. This morning, I also want to share something that I received from our denomination. Each week, they have a global mission prayer guide that they send to the churches, indicating areas in our globe that we need to remember in prayer. And the week of March 12th, we got word about prayers for the Dominican Republic, the Church of the Brethren Dominican Republic. I'll just read what it says here. Pray for the leaders and members of the Church of the Brethren in the Dominican Republic as they navigate differences between their Spanish-speaking communities of Dominican origin and their Creole-speaking communities of Haitian origin. Pray for the Holy Spirit's wisdom as they discern a path forward together. Also, they share about Ethiopia. Pray for all those who mourn the deaths of 157 people killed in an airplane crash Sunday a couple weeks ago. The victims of this crash were from 35 nations. I didn't know that there were that many from nations. With the greatest share from Kenya. 19 of the victims were staff members of various United Nations agencies. One was working with the World Council of Churches. The cause of the crash is not yet known. Pray for God's comfort for those who grieve. And finally, there's also prayer requests for Nigeria. Pray for our brothers and sisters in the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria, the EYN Church, and others in northeastern Nigeria, who are facing increased violence attacks from Boko Haram insurgents. EYN officials report that people are living in fear and that many are relocating or sleeping in caves. EYN has requested specific prayers for church members who lost loved ones in an insurgent attack in the town of Madgali on March 1st. When a suicide bomber entered the house of a church member and killed the family, and a rocket attack killed 7 people. Pray for the congregation of the EYM and the church members in the community of these communities, which were attacked in February. The Bugwamu community's food stores were looted, and a 7-year-old was abducted from EYN family, among other losses. Pray for strength for those living in fear and grief. Pray that the ways of peace may prevail. Let's come to our God in prayer. Oh God, we come to you this morning as a God who is a God of comfort and peace. We know, Lord, that there is not any peace right now in our world. There's a lot of violence right now, particularly within the churches today. We lift up, Lord, the EYN Church, Lord, who has experienced severe persecution right now, our brothers and sisters in the Church of the Brethren there. We pray, O God, that you comfort the losses of the many who are killed. Lord, we don't know exactly what it's like to be a persecuted church, but these brothers and sisters do. We just pray that you give them strength during this time and resolve to never give up their faith in you and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We also pray, Lord, for Ethiopia and dealing with the loss of the tragedy and the plane crash, and also for the Dominican Republic. The church is there as they struggle with cultural, racial barriers between the Creoles and the Haitian and the Dominicans. Pray that the Church of the Brethren there might be the light of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would give them strength and peace during this time. We lift up this morning, Lord, the needs within this congregation. We pray for the ones, Lord, who have lost loved ones. We pray especially for Karen Sanchez, whose uncle passed away. Give her, Lord, strength and peace during this time. We also continue to lift up Harvey with the loss of his wonderful wife, Betty. Lord, just be with him during this difficult time. We lift up Ken Wagner this morning, who had surgery. We pray for your healing and strength to be with him. And Lord, we pray for the many people who are listed on the prayer list, friends, relatives, Lord, of people here in the congregation who are dealing with situations, Lord, that are difficult. Lord, just give them your strength and peace and healing. Help all of us, Lord, know that you have a plan for any trial and situation that we face. This week, Lord, we pray for our Church of the Brethren in our district. We lift up this week the Lewiston Church of the Brethren in Maine. We lift up this church and the ministry that goes on there, and for the ministers, Lord, who are helping this church. Lord, give them strength, mission, and resolve to be the church, Lord, that you want them to be. We lift up this church here, our Myerstown Church of the Brethren, as we go through reconciliation, Lord, through the district. We pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts, that we would look to your guidance as you go through this time. We pray, Lord, that you be with the ministry that we do here, Lord. Help us, Lord, do that, Lord, with the spirit of joy and fellowship and unity. Pray that you continue to give us guidance and direction. We pray for our nation, for our leaders, for our president. We pray, Lord, that we as a church would be the light that you want us to be through Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to know, Lord, that we have a mission. We have a purpose as a church, and that is to shine a light of Jesus Christ in our community and with others. We pray now that you would guide us as we look into your word for our inspiration and guidance and the message, bless the message that follows, Lord, that it would be for your honor and glory and uplift the church. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to our scripture text today. We're looking at the prophet Isaiah, and in your bulletins, there's an insert sheet that you can follow along this morning. We're looking at the title of, Are You Thirsty? Thirsty for the Lord. Prophet Isaiah gives us some good instructions here that we need to take to heart this morning. Pray that the Holy Spirit would guide us as we read the word this morning from Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 9. This is entitled An Invitation to Abundant Life. Hear the word of the Lord. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. May God add a blessing in the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. Bless the spoken word which you have provided. Bless the word which is before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back when I was pastor at my first church in the Western Pennsylvania district, in the church that I served, there was a deacon in the church who was a high school teacher. He taught industrial arts. And he just retired from teaching. And I shared with him that industrial arts was one of my worst classes in junior high school. I was never really good at industrial arts. I remember in seventh grade what I would do is I didn't know how to use any of the machines there. And so what I would do is take a piece of wood and I'd go in a corner and sand that for the entire length of the class because I didn't know what to do. But this, I was sharing with him about, you know, my struggle in school with industrial arts. And he was someone who had a lot of wisdom, this industrial arts teacher who's retired. And one day we were having a discussion about the students in his class who graduated from high school. And he said something to me that stuck with me for years. He said to me, you know, the students in my class who get C's end up being better workers in their jobs after high school than the A students. I said, well, that's kind of weird. How is that? How'd that happen? He said, well, many of my C students end up being better workers because they want to make improvements in their jobs after graduation. They want to get better at what they do. And then I told him the grades that I got in school, and he says, well, Marty, there's hope for you too. So let's hear it for all the students who got C's in class here. As I studied this morning's text, I've made this conclusion. And this should make us think. Our Christian lives, our Christian walk, is driven by desire. You have to want. You have to desire to have Christ in your life. You must have that desire. You must have that desire to grow in your walk with Christ. You have to have the desire to grow in your faith. You have to have the emphasis of spiritual growth in your life and in the church. Let's look at the first verse of Isaiah 51 and look what he says. It says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, this says this, that God invites us to come to him. The invitation is there. This is the same invitation our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave us in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Where Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. John 6:35, Jesus gives the same invitation. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And that leads to our first point in your text this morning. The invitation to the abundant life in Christ is an open invitation to all people. The invitation to the abundant life in Christ is an open invitation to all people. The invitation to come to Christ is not just for the good. It's not just for the holy. It's not just for the churchgoers. It is for all. And the invitation is an invitation to eternal life. Now, who is Isaiah speaking to specifically here? Isaiah is speaking to his own people, which were the Jewish exiles. They were exiled from their homeland, scattered, oppressed. But Isaiah is also speaking to the Gentiles, the unbelievers. He's speaking to the poor. He's speaking to the maimed, the crippled. He's speaking to everyone who thirsts and wants to live a better life. He's speaking to people who thirsted for a better life. Does that include you this morning? Come, buy wine and milk, he says, without money and without price. Why did he use the word wine and milk? Wine and milk are the symbols of our life with God. They are the necessities. Milk provides nourishment, growth. Wine was used in worship, communion time, except for the brethren. We use grape juice. Wine also symbolizes cheering and the invigorating of the soul. It was a big thing back in Jewish days, back in the Jewish time. But symbolically, in the Bible, wine and milk are the necessities in our faith. Milk talks about our spiritual growth, and wine speaks about our worship. And that should tell you where our priorities need to be in our everyday lives. We should all want to grow in our faith, and we should all desire a time of worship in church. And Isaiah said these are all free. These are all free. Look at verse 2. Now he goes on to talk about careless spending. He says, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. The King James Version there says fatness. It's talking about the good, rich life. So the prophet is asking the people, do you know why you're not satisfied? Do you know why you're not happy? He says, because you're spending your money on useless things. You're spending your money on useless things that have nothing to do with the abundant life of the Lord. He asks, do you know why you're in need? He says, you're wasting everything on things that have nothing to do with the abundant life in the Lord. This would also include ourselves. This includes our time, how we spend our time, how we schedule our time. When you think about your own schedule, where do you put your values? How much time do you spend on your smartphone? How much time do you spend studying? How much time do you spend in prayer? How much time do you spend with family? That determines your schedule, your priorities. Isaiah was telling the people, you're spending your money, your time on useless things that do not satisfy. Therefore, God tells you and I, listen carefully to me and come to me. That made me think, are we really listening to what God is telling us today? Are we really listening to what God is telling us today? This is something that speaks to us as individuals. What is God really telling you about your life? What is God telling you about your life in general? Now, when it comes to feeding our own personal life with God, there are challenges that all of us face. When it comes to our devotional time with God, it's very easy to get sidetracked from God and His Word. It's simply a matter of setting priorities. Think about your daily schedule. What is the first thing you do when you wake up every day? Well, we know that there are certain things that need immediate attention. One of the creatures in our house that needs immediate attention is our cats. The one cat comes to our door and scratches at sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 4:30, although he's getting better. Sometimes he doesn't wake me up until 4:45. So he's doing better. Okay, so that's something that you have to take care of immediately. And then if he doesn't get fed, he just roams around and upstairs, downstairs, and he has this constant nagging, whining meow that does not stop. Something that needs immediate attention. But then after those things that demand our attention, that's when you focus on your time with God. This morning, I had to catch myself, and I had to have my own devotional time. I was downstairs after I got Rachel's coffee ready, and after I fed the cats, I was sitting there watching the highlights of the NCAA basketball tournament. I'm thinking, Nate, you know what? I really need to read my Bible this morning instead of watching this. Something that we all have to pay attention about. Now, everyone has a different way of having their time with God. There's no one way that everyone agrees on, and that's typical. Some people like reading a daily devotional, and we do have some really good daily devotionals here in church. Others would rather read the Bible and spend time in meditation. Others might meditate while they exercise. Who knows? I would not pray while you're driving, though. I would say that you better not do that and close your eyes when you drive. You know, have a more of a quiet time away from the road. There is no correct single way of having your time with God. But you do need to do it, and you need to make sure that there are no distractions. Now, let me make this suggestion about our time with God. I think it's important to talk to each other about what we do. Talk to each other about how do you spend your time with God? What time do you do it? What time works for you? What time is best for you? Talk about what you do. And I think that we can all learn from each other about this important time we have with God. Because look how important this is. Look what Isaiah is saying in Isaiah 53, verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. Now think about that. This should tell you how much we should make our time with God a priority. He says, you shall live. It is life. Hear what God says. And your soul shall live. The soul is the most important part of who you are. We're talking about our life with God. We're talking about our life with God as people of the church, which can only benefit the church when we do that. I also believe it's important to talk to each other and find out how we might hear from God. How do you hear from God? Well, one way is through His written word, the Bible. That is God's word to us. That's how we hear what He says. For other people, God speaks through prayer, or it might be through music, or it might be through a sermon, or it might be being around other believers. I really think it's important to have fellowship in the church. When you're around other believers, God speaks through other believers. Something that we need to hear. Here again, there's no one single correct way of hearing from God. Some believe that they heard an audible voice from God in their prayer, and they knew this was from God. And this is something I hear a lot of people say. They say, well, God speaks to my heart. Well, we need to check our hearts every now and then, because our hearts can be evil at times. Isaiah or Jeremiah mentions that. You know, we can have a heart for anything. We can have a heart for food, sports, cars. We need to discern our hearts when it comes to hearing from God. The advantage of talking to each other is for what purpose? It's for unity. Unity in the Holy Spirit. Unity in working together for a common cause in our lives and in the church. It is to say that we have the most important thing in common, and that is our lives with God. Let's look at the second point in your bulletin. The invitation to the abundant life in Christ is an urgent invitation. It's an urgent invitation. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, what does Isaiah mean when he says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near? Well, really what Isaiah is telling us is that he's putting the ball in our courts with God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. So that says that God is always near. He's near us, but we're the ones who put him off. We can't put him off. And we must all reach a point where we know that if we put God off too many times or too long, we're going to become distant. It'll be too late. That's why Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. He is saying that God will not be near us if we keep putting him off. And I also thought about this. What does that mean when it comes to spending eternity with God? You know, people always talk about how they know that they're going, to go to heaven, which is a good thing. But did you ever think about spending time with God when you don't even know who he is? Think about spending eternity with someone that you don't know. Shouldn't that be a mission for you to really know who God is while we're here? It's like, how can you live with someone for the rest of your life when you don't know them with your spouse? You know, how can you do that? Same way with our relationship with God. If we're going to spend eternity with God, I believe we really need to get to know him. Get to know him on a personal level. But the good news is this. The good news is that God is near. He says, call upon him while he is near. Call upon him. This is our anchor. This is our assurance. And this is more than just knowing that God is near us. This says our assurance is that God's ways, God's thoughts, are higher than our thoughts. That's what he says. Isaiah 55, verse 9. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. That is more good news. The good news is that God's ways are higher than ours. I was one of my favorite movies is a football movie, Rudy, from the early 90s. It's one of my favorite movies. Rudy is a young man who just had one dream in life, and that was to go to Notre Dame and play football for Notre Dame. And there's a scene in the movie where Rudy is in the chapel of the campus. You know, he was at the point where he kept on applying to Notre Dame, and the letters came back saying that his letters were, his request was denied. And he was getting really desperate. So he comes into the chapel, and he's praying. He comes to the front, he sits in front of the chapel, and he's just kind of meditating. And then the priest comes up to Rudy, the priest that he is working with. The priest comes up, and he just asks if he's taken his request to a higher power. And Rudy is all down because he wasn't getting accepted into Notre Dame. And he said to the priest, you know what, maybe I haven't prayed hard enough. The priest said, I doubt that's the case, son. He says, God answers prayers on his time, not our time. And then Rudy said to the priest, can you pray and can you get me into Notre Dame? Thinking the priest can do all things, the priest kind of chuckled and said to Rudy, he said, son, in 35 years of theological studies, I only came up with two undisputed truths. There is a God, and I am not him. That's good to know, isn't it? As believers in the Lord, all of us should be comforted to know that we're not God, that God's ways are higher than our ways. How many times has God surprised you when you prayed for a request, when you really didn't expect God to hear you? His ways are higher. Or how many times has a thought, an idea came to your mind and you're thinking, where did this thought come from? I never thought about that before. God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Or you might be driving in the country and enjoying the beautiful scenery. You look around at all the beauty and you think, well, who could make something this beautiful? God's ways are higher than man's ways. God's creation is so much better than anything man can create. Or you might be in a bind. You might be in a trial this morning and you're thinking, you know, I'm never going to get through this. Maybe you haven't received an answer for a prayer request. Well, just go with this. It's just good to know that God's ways are higher. His answers are higher and better. He can come up with solutions that no one else can even think about. This is what the abundant life in Christ is all about. The invitation to this life is available to anyone to come. The invitation of Christ is to a higher life. A higher life than we know, a better life than we're living right now. But the invitation is not everything. You have to have the desire. You have to have the hunger to come. Won't you come to the invitation and come to the invitation of the Lord? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are God who can do all things and that your ways and your thoughts are higher than ours. Lord, I pray for anyone this morning who might have a struggle, tribulation that they're going through, Lord, that you would just assure them, Lord, that you have it in the palm of your hand. Help them to know, Lord, that you're with them through this and that you have a solution. And Lord, be with all of us as we struggle at times to know exactly what you're saying to us. And we pray that we would take heart to know that we need to spend time with you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to do that together as a church. Lead us, Lord, as we continue to look to you for inspiration each and every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we sing our closing song, Jesus Messiah, the altar this morning is always open for anyone who wants to come forward and pray. So let's stand as we sing our closing song of praise, Jesus Messiah. Let's all stand, please. our benediction this morning is taken from portions of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. Amen.